For many of us, this might be the first time this week or this season that we've really just been able to pause and reflect on what Jesus did for us. What he did for us on this day, a little over 2,000 years ago. I just want you to be able to take in what we just sang and everything that he did and just to remember. But I want you to think about this with me for a moment. We can have hope, as we've heard. We can call this Friday good. We can call it Good Friday because we know the entire story. We know what it accomplished. We know that Jesus died on the cross. And we know that in doing so, it covered our blood, or covered our sin by his blood. And then he resurrected 3 days later. He came back to life so that we could have life. We know this. And we even have the privilege of having the Bible to refer to. But the disciples, they didn't have this privilege on this Friday some 2,000 years ago. They would have had no hope at all on the day that Jesus died. And it's easy for us to look back on our life or someone else's life. Once we're on the other side of a hardship, it's easy for us to look back, see how we were provided for, see how God worked in a situation, and find hope. But it's so much harder to do so when you're staring at a hopeless situation, when a hopeless situation is staring you in the face right in front of you, and you don't see how any good could come from it. And maybe this is where you find yourself tonight. You see, this is exactly where the 12 disciples and all those that were following Jesus would have found themselves in this moment of Jesus' death. Hopeless. Without hope. Many will try and say that the disciples knew that Jesus was going to die and rise again. We try and say that the disciples knew that Jesus was going to die and rise again because it says so 3 times in the Gospels that he would do that, and the disciples were in his presence. But in everything that we see and how the disciples responded when Jesus died tells us otherwise, tells us that they didn't know. And Jesus spoke in parables, so it's entirely possible that when it came to his death and resurrection, these parables or these stories of deeper meaning maybe clouded the disciples' understanding, and they didn't catch what Jesus was really saying. I mean, there's times where Jesus said that he would give them none other than the sign of Jonah, 3 days in the fish, right? Or that he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up again. It's entirely possible that they didn't understand that the deeper meaning of this really meant that he was going to die and rise again. I mean, second, they did see Lazarus raised from the dead. They saw Jesus do it after 4 days of him being dead. I mean, surely Jesus could have raised, right? That's what we would think. But it's entirely possible that the disciples thought that, well, with Jesus dead, there's nobody to raise him from the dead. Third, they also probably believed, along with all the other Jews, probably down inside, that if Jesus really was the Messiah, he would have been able to save himself, take himself off the cross, as we heard in the reading a little bit earlier. If he really was the Messiah, he could have just come down off the cross and shown everybody that he really was who he said that he was. And since he didn't do that, maybe he really wasn't the long-awaited Messiah. You see, they thought that the Messiah would be a warrior, would be somebody who would come and lead a rebellion and would rise up and make a great nation. They thought that This person would bring war and judgment for the people. There's many Old Testament passages that even talk about and show how the Messiah would be bent on conquest. This Messiah was going to come and was going to do battle. Even John the Baptist thought that this was the case, if you look at Luke 3:17. And with Jesus dying, they probably had a sobering moment. Maybe this wasn't going to happen. Maybe he really wasn't the Messiah after all. And again, we're able to look at this and we're able to see the outcome of Jesus' death and his sacrifice. But not the disciples. So here the disciples stood. No hope. Their Messiah, who they thought was going to lead them in overtaking the Romans, was dead. They thought that they were next. Peter denies him for this reason. 3 times. They were fearing for their lives and hiding for their lives. They probably even thought 3 days later when they were told that the tomb was empty, that the body had been stolen. There must have been a huge range of emotion that these disciples were feeling in the midst of this hopelessness. I mean, they were probably sad. Devastated even, filled with fear, downcast. Have you ever had that feeling in your gut and the feeling, the pit of your stomach just in such knots? They were feeling loss. They were probably angry, confused. I mean, fill in the blank. Fill in how you're maybe feeling in your life situation right now. And you feel hopeless. It's pretty safe to say that they had no hope. And I was trying to think of a story that we could all relate with in America's history. And I thought about the Great Depression. And I thought about that time in history where people went through having nothing. I mean, There was no hope. They didn't know if our nation was ever going to be what it was ever again. And we can look here now. We stand on the other side and we see that our nation has made it and is prospering again and is in a good place. But in that moment, when they were looking forward, there was no hope. And if you're feeling hopeless tonight in your current situation, if you're maybe currently feeling any of these emotions that the disciples felt, would you be willing to turn to Jesus, to put your hope in him? Because he's the only one that can bring about everlasting hope to our situation. And maybe you've tried everything else, but you've never given Jesus a try. In Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 21 and 24 through 25 say this. It says, I consider that our present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You see, eventually the disciples were able to look back. They were able to have that hope. But not so on this Friday, all those years ago. And the deal is that we always have to look back in order to see the hope that we now have. But if we look forward toward Jesus in the midst of our hopelessness and keep looking to him, this is what will allow us to look back and see the everlasting hope that was provided, because nothing else and no one else can give us true hope. Only he can. And so if you're feeling hopeless tonight, and maybe the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, and you know you need to give Jesus a try. You need to say, Jesus, I've been doing this on my own. And I wanna give you a try. I wanna live for you. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I can't do that. I can't make my sin right. Only you could do that, and only you did that. I want to give my life to you. Forgive me. That's all you have to do. And he will give you new hope. So pray with me right now. And if that's where you're at, please make that decision. And if you do, please feel free to take communion with us in just a little bit. So Father, wherever we're at tonight, whatever is going on, no matter how hopeless it might feel, no matter if we just lost a job, no matter if we just lost a family member, no matter if we just lost a house, no matter if, fill in the blank, just life couldn't get any worse. May we trust in you. And maybe there's somebody, or maybe there's a couple people in here tonight who maybe they believe in you, but they're this close to going off the path because they feel like there's no hope. And I pray they would see when they press into you, when they keep their eyes on you moving forward, that one day they will be able to look back and that they will be able to see the everlasting hope that they have as they keep their eyes on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.